Well, hello again, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this week of prayer. So this week we're journeying through the progression of the gospel in Acts 1:8, where we're called to be Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we're talking with some different people who are helping to lead our church family forward in each of those kinds of places, in our version of those, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and ends of the earth. And so I'm so grateful to have our friend Robbie back with us this morning, or I guess it's this afternoon or whenever everybody's listening. Robbie, good to have you, man. Thanks for being back.
Thank you for having me. Great to be back. And
So we're being, I am being a little vague right now. I'm saying you're back and people have no idea where you've gone. So why don't you tell them a little bit about where you've been and what you've been up to? Now, before you do that, let me just say we're going to be intentionally a little vague in this conversation for security purposes. So I'm going to refer to where Robbie has been as South Asia. I'm going to refer to him as Robbie and nothing more. And we probably won't use a lot of names related to the places where he's been, but that's just for the security of those who are ministering where he's been. Now, actually, before we even get into all that, let me just ask you. So, Robbie, how long have you been a part of Covenant Life Church?
I've been a part of Covenant Life my entire life. My parents are longtime members here. Started coming when we were still at Magruder High School.
Wow. And, okay, so you precede the building that we're sitting
in
right now.
I do.
That's pretty impressive, man. You're getting up there, bro. Yeah. And about when did you start to sense that God might be calling you into the mission field?
It was probably 2012, 2013.
Okay.
Just a growing burden that God put on my heart for places that they have so little access to the gospel.
Yeah.
No, in some cases, no churches trying to reach their communities. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's just a growing, I think, first awareness of the needs in many parts of the world.
Yeah.
And then just an increasing burden that God might be calling me to.
That's great.
To help start churches in places where there aren't any.
So, Robbie, when you say unreached, that's a term we use a lot, but could you explain for folks, what do we mean by that?
Yeah, the typical, if you want to put a number on it, typically that means less than 2% of a people group is Christian.
Hmm.
Now, we can't understand everything just by a number, but mm-hmm. it's a people group, not necessarily a country, but a people group, an ethnic group, where there is less than 2% of the population is Christian, and that's considered not enough to advance the gospel, advance Christianity by itself without outside help.
Gotcha.
And so that could be, there are people groups in the world that are more than 100 million, and then there are people groups that are in the hundreds or in the tens of thousands. So people groups can look very different around the world. But when we're talking about an unreached people group, in my mind, that means less than 2% of the population is Christian.
I remember traveling with a worker overseas several years ago, and he and I and a couple of others were in a train together, and we were riding past an area, you could see a town off in the distance, and he said, there aren't any more Christians in that town that we know of than there are us here on this train car. That's kind of what we're getting at. We talk about unreached. There may be some Christian presence there, but not large enough or significant enough or self-sustaining enough, most likely, to see the advance of the gospel in that place. So, Robbie, you started feeling the sense of call years ago, and then, you know, kind of fast-forwarding, it was our privilege, I guess. What was it December that we formally commissioned you?
The send-off was a Sunday in December
of
2019, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a year and a half since we were able to have you up on a Sunday morning, pray for you as a church family, commissioned you, sent you off. And after a year and a half on the field, you're back. And man, it's just so good to see you and be with you and have you here with us. So I'd love for people to hear a little bit about, I know this is a huge question, but what's it been like, right? I mean, it's been an interesting year for everybody around the world. You got to go through that year in a setting that was really different. So what was it like for you?
Yeah. So the context where I serve in South Asia, it's an unreached people group, and we would define it further as a frontier people group, where less than 1% of the population is Christian. Hmm. And in this case, it's a lot less than 1%.
Hmm.
And it's a people group, the same country, same ethnic group of more than 130 million people.
Hmm.
There are a lot of people, and they live in an area about the size of Wisconsin, if that. I know those numbers can be big and hard to wrap your mind around, but it's a lot of people in a relatively small space.
Can you say that? So you said in a space about the size of Wisconsin, how many people?
About 160 million.
Wow.
So
I mean, that's
about
like
half the size of the United States.
Wow. Okay.
Wisconsin or, yeah.
And less than 1% Christian, as best
yeah.
we can tell.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay. And this people group would be a Muslim people, which is the majority faith of this country.
Hmm.
It's hard to give a snapshot of the entire country. Hmm. Just like any country, it's diverse. There's cities, there's villages, but in general, it's a densely populated country. It's about 90% Muslim.
Hmm.
Developing nation. So that's a brief snapshot of what it's like. And as you said, I got there January 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Intending to jump right into learning the language and adjusting to the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I joined a team. My team leaders served there or had been serving there for more than 8 years. And yeah, January 2020 started learning language and adjusting to life there. And the first 2 months went about as I mm-hmm. expected, but then as we all know, the pandemic started to take effect early that year, and it took a little bit longer there for things to get locked down, but by March we entered into a lockdown like a lot of the world was in.
Mm.
So that made language learning interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For myself and a lot of others in similar situations. So I had to adjust to that. Just did the best I could with trying to learn via Zoom or mm-hmm. or video calls. There were challenges, but the Lord certainly was gracious to keep me healthy and to provide the technology to
right.
provide ways to learn
right.
in the midst of that. So
that's great. Well, everyone I've talked to who's been overseas for a while, they always say, year one, language and culture. That's
yep.
pretty much it. So you had an interesting environment to try to do language and culture in because you couldn't really engage a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, based on our conversations, it seems like and you were able to make pretty good progress on both fronts. So tell me something about just that stood out to you about the culture you were all of a sudden completely embedded in.
The number of people, the population density was just very striking, just outside, especially in the cities.
Yeah.
And then just being in the cities where the sound, the noise, just it comes with a lot of people.
This is a huge mass of humanity in the place
yeah.
where you went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then kind of like what you were saying, when you see that
yeah,
and you think about the spiritual situation and how
yeah.
So few, if any of those people have heard the gospel.
Wow.
Just very sobering.
Yeah.
And kind of overwhelming. You can read all the numbers. You can hear about cities, places, people groups like that, but to actually see it and be in it.
Yeah.
It's at least it hit me pretty hard.
Just
the spiritual reality of that.
Yeah. So. Well, brother, I know, like I said, you know, you're there primarily this first year learning the language and culture and trying to do that in an environment that was really challenging. But are there any other ways you could just tell us ways you saw God at work in particular this past year?
Yeah. So I think I definitely saw him work And I guess I would just talk about a couple more of the challenges that our team faced. So, in the midst of trying to learn language during the pandemic and lockdown and all the challenges with that, my team leaders had issues with their visas, with their documentation that gives them permission to stay in the country, and ended up having to leave. So they had to leave in late September of that year. So about 9 to 10 months after I landed. And so that was pretty jarring and tough for our team to walk through. And so when they left, that left me with me there as the only American in the city that that we served in, or that my team leaders have been serving in, along with one other local partner and his wife. I just remember that first week after the rest of the team had to leave, just feeling like, how in the world is any kind of ministry going to happen? How is the gospel going to advance? Yeah. You know?
Because you're literally there, basically alone at this point.
Alone, isolated.
Yeah.
You know, very basic survival knowledge of the language.
Right.
I remember talking to a colleague who'd been there for a long time, and he said, pretty much everybody who'd been in that context, doing the same kind of ministry, has been brought to a place where of desperation, been brought low before the Lord, and I definitely found myself at that point, just realizing all the more how much I need God. Something I would have told you, would have told anybody, but just realizing that I need God and just what that really looks like to rely on Him completely. So, anyways, in the midst of that, we did see God work and move in our city. Small glimmers of hope in a very spiritually dark place, but I got to watch my the local partner that I work with. He'd been reaching out to a number of people, and one of the guys he reached out to showed a lot of interest in coming to faith, and he did. He trusted in Jesus for salvation. This is a man coming from a Muslim background, and he turned away from that and trusted in Christ, and I got to be there for his baptism.
That's awesome.
just so encouraging and so incredible. I got to see my local partner, per cultural norms, he had been married to an arranged marriage to a Muslim girl. He faithfully witnessed to her and reached out to her along with my team leaders, and she came to saving faith, trusted in Christ. And so I got to see her really grow a lot and take ownership of her faith and be excited to join in. God worked, and he showed his power and his sovereignty and his ability and his desire to work and demonstrate who he is to people in spiritually dark cities like this one.
Praise God, man. That's awesome.
So those are two very cool, tangible examples of God at work.
I mean, I know people who've served in similar places who will say, man, there's, you know, we will basically till soil for years before we see seeds of the gospel start to take root like that. So, man, the fact that, you know, God's kindness, before this first trip home, you were able to see the evidence of his work over there is just outstanding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I agree. And my team leaders did a lot of that tilling of the soil.
Yeah.
It's a tilling of some really hard, rocky soil.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, my local friend, just so faithful with his persistent witness, and God worked through that. You know, he worked through that persistent witness and just the clear presentation of the gospel to save a couple of people. Mm. And so to have a front row seat to that,
yeah,
in the midst of all the challenges, all the uncertainty, it's just a tremendous privilege.
That's awesome, buddy. Well, man, I know as a church, we want to continue to get behind you in prayer and get behind the work that's going on there in prayer as well. So, man, if you could let us know just, how can we do that, right? So I know for you specifically, right, you're in a place where, you've got this time back, a brief time, and you're trying to sort out, what are the next steps for you? And then also, even while you're here, those seeds are still back there, right? And we want to be praying for what God's doing there. So just how would you have us pray?
Yeah, I think, so as far as our team, mm-hmm. I mentioned the team leaders' visa issues. They're mm-hmm. still in the U.S. They believe they have an open door and an opportunity to go back, but it's still going to take some time. And so between those visa issues and the ongoing global health crisis, mm-hmm. a lot of uncertainty with some timelines and time frames. Mm-hmm. Our team is still absolutely committed to serving together in this people group for as long as the Lord would allow us. Mm-hmm. And so we're busy making plans for how we can all be back there, serving there. Mm. But we'd appreciate prayer for discernment and as to what will be the best way for us to do that.
Yeah.
Again, as long as the Lord allows, and we're hoping that's for many years into the future. But
and anything that we could pray for, just as far as the ongoing work there.
Yeah. So I mentioned the local guy. We'll call him AA. Mm-hmm. Can pray for him.
And he's the one who is a believer who's working there and is evangelizing.
Yes. Yeah. He's a believer from the majority faith background. Just a remarkable guy. Mm-hmm. Story of coming to faith, but he just has such a passion for seeing churches planted throughout the country, in particular in the area where we've served, in places that have so few, or in some cases, no churches, no non-believers. Mm. So he's just got an incredible passion and vision that really aligns with our team very well. That he's also got the majority faith background and the cultural background and understanding that that those of us coming from the U.S. from an American Christian background, we just can't have.
Right.
So but he is ministering in a place where he is the severe religious minority.
Yeah.
Doing what he's doing faces a lot of opposition, and because of the background he comes from, he will face a lot more opposition than an American typically would. Just pray for him and his wife, just for that God would grant them spiritual strength and endurance. And then I do have, and there is another guy there in the same city. Where AA is, he's from Northeast India, and so he got to the field same time I did, and so he's in the process of learning language, culture.
You got it, brother.
Gospel seeds have been sown. We just pray that they would bear much fruit.
Well, let's pray. So if you're listening to me, feel free to shut me up here for a minute and turn your volume down, and you can just begin to pray. Or if you want to join in with me and just agree with me in prayer, but wherever you are, let's go before the Lord. Well, Father, we first of all just recognize your call that we are to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And Father, we're so grateful that you specifically called Robbie to this place in South Asia to be your witness there. And so, Father, we thank you for being with him and preserving him and watching over him in this past year and a half since we sent him off. Father, we thank you for being with him through times of loneliness and discouragement. We thank you for being with him when others from his team weren't able to stay. Lord, we thank you for being with him and leading him forward into different areas of ministry, even under just unprecedented circumstances. Father, you have been so faithful to keep him and to work in him and through him in that place. God, we pray for he and his whole team as they're in this time where they're trying to get back into this place that you've called them to and trying to strategize as to how to best do that and when to best do that. We pray that you would lead them in these days and set them up for long-term fruitfulness. Give them the discernment to know when and how to walk through the doors that you lead them through. We pray that, Lord, each and every one, his team leaders, his wife, Lord, others who are there now and trying to discern when and how to join together, Lord, we just entrust all them to you. Lord, we pray for the seeds of the gospel that were planted in that place and that we trust continue to grow and bear fruit. Lord, we pray that they would do just that. Lord, we pray for the young believers, the new believers that, Lord, Robbie had the privilege of being able to see come into your kingdom in that place. God, we pray that you would preserve their faith, that you would strengthen them, and that you would use them to reach their people. God, we pray for AA and his wife and the incredible ministry and passion you've given them to reach others from the same religious background as them, despite the opposition and persecution that they experience. Oh God, I pray that you would strengthen them in their labor, that you would refresh them in the task, that you would give them joy in the work. And Father, I pray that you would cause the seeds of the gospel to be scattered far and wide through their ministry, and that those seeds again would begin to take root and bear fruit for the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for this fellow worker that you've called from another part of the region into that location, and we pray the same for him as he spends time now learning language and culture, even as Robbie just did not long ago. God, we pray that as Lord, we trust and pray that as things increasingly begin to open up on the other side of this pandemic, that Lord, you would give him fresh opportunity to engage people in that community with the hope of the gospel. Father, we pray for, even in this moment, we're reminded of our other partners as well in other parts of the world who are in very similar places, reaching communities that are deeply unreached with the hope of Jesus. God, we pray for each and every one that you would strengthen them today. Lord, we pray for Paul in Nepal. We pray for Seda in Japan. We pray for the Martins who are also looking to get back to China very soon. God, we pray that Lord, you would help them to know your peace, your presence, your empowering spirit. Help them to know the love and support of this church family for them in that work. And would you revive and strengthen them in it today and cause your gospel to go forward in fresh ways in the days to come. Lord, we entrust Robbie and all these brothers and sisters to you in Jesus' name. Amen.